It was a coastal town. It was on a major Roman road, Via Ignita. The Way of the Nations was the name. It was running eastward from Rome, a seaport, also very, very close to rich, well-watered coastal plains. And these three advantages, they made Thessalonica the largest, most important commercial and political center in Macedonia. Thessalonica was a cosmopolitan city. You know, it was a metropolis. It was worldly. People from all over came. And the barbaric, Germanic peoples, you know, from the north, they were living there, and they were bringing their pagan gods and their pagan religion and their pagan culture. And the Greeks were coming from Achaia to the south and from the islands of the Aegean Sea, and in turn, they were bringing their refinement and their philosophy. And the Romans from the west also settled there. They were mostly retired soldiers, and they brought their strength and their will and their wealth and their political power. And finally, the Jews, they came in large numbers from the east. Eventually, one-third of the population was Jewish. And they brought their ethical, monotheistic faith and their national prejudices. We see in the big picture. You see, Thessalonica, it was similar to Corinth, and Corinth would put Las Vegas to shame. Thessalonica would be more like Vegas. It would be just like that. It was the Vegas of the first century. So if you got your Bibles today, how's everybody doing? Got that picture in your mind? We're going to need it. Go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. That's where we're going to be today. We're doing okay. There's a lot going on. How did praying in the Spirit go for everybody this week? Nobody's answering me today. They're ready. They're like, just get to it. Brian's going, where's that closing thought? Right? No, well, as we continue in our It's Time to Stand series, we're going to be going into the book of 1 Thessalonians. And 1 and 2 Thessalonians were some of the first epistles. They were some of the first letters, you know, written by Paul. And the church in Thessalonica was one of the churches established by Paul during his second, you know, missionary journey, his second church planting journey. And all that to say that we get a first hand into how Paul, the apostle, and the pastor encouraged this young church. Nobody knows what a young church is, do they? Week 5, God's like, I need to encourage y'all. Right? And you know, for the next 4 to 5 weeks, we're gonna take a different principle from 1 Thessalonians about taking a stand in our faith. And see, the diversity of the people and the diversity of thought and culture made Thessalonica, you know, an interesting place for the early church to take root, because the constant swirl of dissenting opinions and power structures and struggles often led to persecution and segregation of those early Christ followers. And they had to learn, and sometimes the hard way, I can relate to that. I can feel that, right? To stand firm in their faith no matter what was going on around them. And when was the last time, let me ask you this, when was the last time you really had to either step out in faith or stand firm in your faith? Think about that. Maybe you're in the midst of that faith challenging season right now. I don't know. I can remember, you know, early on in my faith, I was, you know, I shouldn't say in my faith, I was young in it. You know, for me, I was saved at 13. I walked away from the church at 16, and it wasn't until I was, you know, in my mid-20s that God called me back around to this thing, you know. And you know, here it's all going on, and he's pulled me back into his church and showed me what he's wanting to do, and I'm just getting back into church and back into this whole thing, and God says, hey, I wanna, you know, and I'm inside me, I'm complaining about the church again, you know, nothing's changed in the last 15 years, you know, and God's like, well, then do something about it. Oh. And that's when he called me, he says, hey, I want you to go out and I want you to live in ministry. I want you to teach. I want you to preach. And I want you to do these things. I want you to go out into places. And I was like, I don't want to do that. We just built, you know, bought property. We just built our dream home. And, you know, this hillbilly had his dream shop with the heated floors and air conditioning and all that. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I kind of like what I got going on. Had a great job. And God's, no, I need you to get rid of it all. And then in the midst of this, we were, we were also planning a church with three other couples. You know, it was a crazy time. And now I want you to, you know, we're in this, and people are in the church are wanting Marcy and I to take over the church, and I'm struggling with it anyhow, you know. And you know, God's, you know, he's given me a big gift of faith, but boy, I sure felt like it was being tested. So in all this, he's saying, I want you to leave it all, and I want you to do this, and you said you'd do whatever you asked me to do, no matter the cost, Carrie. Remember that? Yeah, I remember, you know. Things like that happen when you pray in the Spirit. When you get yourself in alignment in prayer, you'll say things and go, uh-oh. And so my faith was really being stressed, and as we're planning this church, and you know, and others are going, you should do this, and God say, no, I don't want you there. I want you to go somewhere else. I got something else for you. Oh, and I need you to quit your job and move. Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, and by the way, you're not going to be able to afford that place you just built. You're going to have to sell that too. And so, you know, it took a bit, and we did it, and God guided us through it, you know. And as we go there, you know, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm this guy from cows and corn, you know. And all of a sudden, I find myself in inner city ministry. God is really stretching my faith, because I don't know anything about the projects in the hood, except that I didn't want to go to them. You know, in my work, I had to go into Breeding Green for a couple days, and that was not a pleasant experience. You know, so that was in my mind, but we did it, but it was constantly stretching. And the way that I got through it, I had all been challenged, and the challenge just thought you were just going to take it down, you couldn't deal with it. The way that I got through this was to lean on my faith and trust in God, was to actually start taking the steps. We need to show you, I want you to do this, and I would actually, you know, it took a minute, I'm not going to lie, but we started taking the steps. We started, okay, we're not going to take this church over. Talking to the church leader, you know, God's got something for us. We're going to leave, and we're going to go to another church. What are you going to do there? I'm not sure. God said he's got something, and to go, so we did. And all those came in, and, you know, in the midst of all this stuff, you know, when I was slow to go about things, don't trust me, things got hard. My work was like, what are you doing? My family thought I had gone off the deep end, you know, and they're like, you know, they're talking to me about this, and I'm like, I'm explaining it, I'm doing it, you know, but why? You got a dream job, you got your dream place, you got everything one would ever want. So I thought, but I don't. I actively stayed faithful in the midst of all this difficulty by taking the steps God was showing me to take. I would have never made it if I would have resisted those steps. And that's how it is for all of us, you know. The more that we respond to God, the easier it is to hear God, and the more, you know, difficult a situation gets, and when we seek Him and He shows us how to get through that difficulty, you know, whether we like it or not, start moving in that. And I promise it's a whole lot easier to take. And see, we'll all experience difficult seasons in our lives, and I don't think that's breaking news here today. I can't believe I'm the only one that's experienced something difficult. But the challenge is remaining faithful, remaining steadfast and resolute through those difficult times. See, interestingly, it seems to be the exact type of season the church at Thessalonica, that they were experiencing. And one of the reasons Paul wrote to them was to encourage them to stand firm in their faith. His message is a timeless one, and we can learn so much even 2,000 years later. And that's the first thing, the first part of this message, the first point I want to make today is this. The first part of the message is be encouraged. We haven't even got to Scripture, and I'm telling you to be encouraged. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, this is what it says. Here's what Paul writes. This is the very opening of his letter. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God the Father and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, I want you to look at three specific things that areas of encouragement that Paul identifies in the church, and he calls them out, man. And he calls out their work produced by faith. He calls out their labor prompted by love, and he calls out their endurance inspired by hope. See, work, labor, and endurance are active and dynamic words used to describe the faith, love, and hope being exercised in the Thessalonican church. And theirs was not a passive faith at all, nor could it be in this diverse culture and atmosphere of their worldly anything-go city that they lived in. See, they needed the encouragement of Paul to keep going in the faith. And this is in large part to why he wrote to them in the first place. To strengthen them, to equip them, to admonish them, and to instruct them to keep going. To keep going. Who's ever needed that in their life? Keep going. See, in another letter, epistle he wrote to Timothy, he says this, 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life which you were called when you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What's a good confession? That good confession was this. He says, hey, Timothy, when you were young, you came into your faith in that good confession, that confession that you believed Jesus came and lived and died for you. He came and took the punishment for your sins, and he rose again so that you could live again in heaven with him. That's that good confession. He says, when you made that in the presence of many witnesses, what he's saying is don't give up. Keep fighting for faith. Take hold of what God has given you, church, and where do you hear that kind of encouragement in your life? Is anybody? Man, I hope you can come here and hear it. Who has a Paul-like voice or authority in your life? Who knows, you know, you well enough to call you out in specific areas of victory and encouragement? We need to have those people in your life. And I can tell you there was times in my life where I didn't have them. It was hard. It's hard when you don't have anybody to tell you to keep fighting the good fight, or you don't have a group of people around you who will help you keep fighting the good fight, who will stand with you and pray for you, encourage you, you know, in those things. And a lot of times we don't have that person in our life because we just don't allow them in, or we don't want them in. They're there. You just got to look for them, and you got to listen for them. See, There's a guy in my life, you know, and he kind of knows his role. It's fun. You know, and his name is Joe. He owns a furniture store, and we talk once in a while, but he always, no matter what's going on, leaves me encouraged. Keep going, Carrie. Keep doing it. I got you. He is that Paul in my life, blowing that encouragement into me. You know, and if you don't have that in your life, I guarantee that if you just hang around here after church on Sunday and still are bolting out the door, that person, you're going to find that person in your life. And if that's not, you come on Thursday nights. Thursday nights, we all eat together. We hang together. Sometimes, you know, it's kind of a transforming thing, you know. But you will find encouragement in Thursday night somewhere. You see, it is difficult and maybe impossible to stand firm in your faith apart from the encouragement of others. See, we need to be built up and learn how to build each other up, right? And that's the second point today, is we need to build each other up. See, throughout the New Testament, there are lots of references to things being built or established, And in many of Paul's letters, Paul uses this type of language to talk about how we are to encourage one another. We are to build up into a firm, unshakable faith. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 and 11, it says this. It says, "But since we belong to the day," since we belong to the light, some translations say, you know, since we belong to Christ, "since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer a wrath, but to receive a salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, whether we are living or dead, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other just as in the fact that you are doing. Therefore." What's it there for? Anytime we see therefore, especially in the Bible, we need to be paying attention. "Therefore, since we belong to Christ, the day, and since we have received eternal salvation through Him, we are to engage in the utmost building project of all time." You know what that is? It's the church. It's people and their faith. And Paul says, encourage one another and build each other up just as, in fact, you are doing. And the word Paul uses for build here is in Thessalonians is the same root word that Jesus uses in Matthew 16:8. When he first mentions the church, actually, and this is what it says in Matthew 16:18. It says, And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. See, Jesus is making a declaration in Matthew. And this is what he says, I am going to build my church. And Paul picks up that language saying, build each other up. Encourage one another. Paul's strong encouragement and instructions to the Thessalonians is to continue the building project. Continue building into the church that Jesus identified in Matthew 16, and we are called to continue that work. Then after us, new believers, They'll be called into the project as well. And in fact, the work won't be completed until Jesus returns. Until He returns for His church and at some point in the future. And that's why we stand firm in our faith. We don't give up. We don't grow weary. And we can do that, right? Who's ever grown weary? I'm not talking tired. I'm talking tired of doing it. You ever got tired of doing something? That's the weary definition we're working with. And don't grow tired of doing it. Don't grow tired of building one another up, because we know that in the end, Jesus is victorious. And in fact, he says in Matthew 16 that the gates of hell will not overcome it. Listen, if you're in the day, if you're in Jesus, if you believe in him, that he is your Lord and Savior, he's the only one that can get you to heaven, right? If you believe that and follow him, the gates of hell will not conquer you. They can't keep you down. They can't overcome you. They can give you some trouble. And Jesus' promise is that he'll try. Right? With that in mind, what more can we do than to stand firm? You know, we need to encourage one another, build one another up, and stand firm. That's the third point today, is stand firm, having faith that Jesus will return for his church. By faith, we believe Jesus lived and died and rose again and will eventually return. And by faith, we know that Jesus told us trouble will come in John 16:33. And that the enemy will try to deceive believers up until the very end. That's what he's going to do. Jesus said it. Matthew 24, verses 24 and 25, it says, "For false messiahs and false prophets will appear, perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect," even those who are teaching the word of God, "even the elect, even the teachers, the priests, the apostles, the pastors, even those guys, he'll even try to deceive them. See, I've told you ahead of time." By faith, we have been warned. By faith, we are encouraged to stand firm until the end. And this message of hope and encouragement is repeated throughout the letters of Paul. And maybe most famously in the book of Ephesians. Whose Bible just opens right up to Ephesians? Or app, right? Where Paul encourages believers to stand firm and do what? Embrace what? The full armor of God. And I have to read it. I have to. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against powers in this dark world and against spiritual forces and the evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." You see, church, our ultimate battle is not actually with flesh and blood. It's not with our neighbors. It's not with our family. It's not with our co-workers, our friends. Our battle is with the original adversary, the king of division and destruction, and he will do everything he can to get you off the path of life and the path of faith and onto the path of death and disbelief. Everything. But we must learn, just like the early church in Thessalonica, to stand firm in faith. And as we wrap this up, I want you to think about this. I got a question. Have you ever played tug of war? Come on, who's played tug of war? This is a participatory church. We raise our hands, we raise our voices, right? We've all seen the tug of war, you know? And if you've ever played tug of war, you know how important it is to get what? A firm grip on the rope, right? Who spit on their hands, done one of these and grabbed that rope, right? Yep, I'm not the only one. Some of them, you just aren't telling the real story, right? Right? We get a grip on that rope, and we make sure our feet are what? They're planted, right? Who's dug in their heel, right? They got the ground, right? That's how we do it. And you're being pulled, you know, and you pull, you know, to exhaustion, and you start losing your footing, and you start losing your grip. But I want to encourage you today to dig in your heels and tighten your grip, and you know what's true, and relinquish control of the game. Relinquish control of life to Jesus. to take a stand today on what you know is true, what you know is right and good. And if you need somebody to walk with you through that process, I need you to join a group. Get involved in one of the ministries here at church. Ask someone close to you for accountability and to check in with you, you know, throughout the week. You know, get hang out after church or on Thursday nights, right? Get connected. Find your Joe. Everybody needs a Joe in their life. You may even have a whole group of Joes. I don't know. Right? See, if you're not planted, if not, you and your team will likely what? What happens when you go flying across that midlight in tug of war? You get defeated. You lose. Defeat is on its way. Right? And I know there are some here today that are engaged in an extremely dangerous game of tug of war. And you're being pulled to exhaustion. You're losing that footing. You're losing that grip. Hang on. Hang on. And if you need someone to walk you through this process, we do it. Find someone. We're blessed to have counseling here at this church. If that's what you need, man, if you need some counseling, go ahead. And you got that communication card, write your name and whatever information, and just said, hey, I want to talk. And drop it in the nail keg back there. All right, put it in there, and someone will be in touch with you. All right? Pastor Rodney and Denise, they're wonderful at it. Standing firm in faith isn't easy, but it's worth it in the end. See, in the coming weeks, we're going to take a deeper look into how the Thessalonican church, it stood firm. It stood firm in its troubles and its suffering. It stood firm in its alignment with God. And ultimately, it stood firm in their future as people committed to Jesus. We're going to dig into that. Because the enemy is real, and he wants to take out as many people as he can, and he really wants to disrupt the church. So as we go today, you know, I like giving homework, taking it home, things we can exercise to live these things out, to build them up in our lives. It's kind of like a what's next as we take it home. You know, here's what I want you to do. I want you to read ahead. Go ahead and read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and spend some time thinking about your testimony, your witness, your life. Spend some time thinking about that. If someone asks you, man, where does your hope come from? Why do you believe in God? What would you say? I want you to think about that. And I also want you to consider the three things that Paul, you know, he commended to the church at the beginning of his letter when he called out, hey, man, your work, it's produced by faith, and your labor, it's prompted by love and endurance. Man, that's inspired by hope. Think about those things. And maybe today, you know, you have those things in your life, and maybe they've been put on a back burner like mine. They just kind of sat there and festered and idled and maybe rotted a little bit, got some mold on it, had some moldy faith. Am I the only ones had moldy faith? Right? Kind of set it down aside. Maybe I walked over it a couple times with some of the cow pen on my boots. It just sat there. I don't know. Or maybe you don't have it at all. I don't know. But I don't want you to leave here today if God's prompting you to step up and to stand firm in your faith. I don't want you to leave here today without encouragement. And if you don't even have that in your life, if you don't even have that good testimony that we talked about, that good news that that we read about, if you don't have Jesus in your life as your Lord and Savior, If you want to know more about him, grab me. I'll tell you more about him. If he's calling you into his kingdom right now, come running. We're going to pray for both of these things. You can pray in your own words and your own ways, but don't pray with an empty heart, because all you're doing is babbling words and it doesn't get you anywhere. Don't do it. Praying a prayer just to pray, it's like saddling a horse without cinching it up. You're not going to stay on, I promise. You'll fall right off. You won't go far either. So let's just pray. If when we get to an area that you can pray with me, you can agree with me in prayer, you can pray out loud. I don't care what you do, but do it from the heart. So let's do that. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads if that's where you're comfort. If you're not, keep them open and look around. The Bible says to be watchful and pray. Let's pray. Father, we'll come to you today. Because we're living in a time where the church is coming under attack all over the world, but we're fortunate enough to live in a country where it's protected, but the enemy is still trying to take it down, and now he's trying to take it down within itself. So I pray in the name of Jesus that those who follow you, those who you call disciple, those whose name is written in the book of life, you would give them the strength, the courage, and the encouragement to stand firm in their faith. Not to bow to culture and what culture believes. Not to bow to what's politically correct. We can stand firm in our faith, Lord. Help us do it to stand firm, but still be loving and kind. We can still be gritty and have grace. Help your church do that. Help me do that. And if you're here today and you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you don't have a foundation to stand on, but you want it. You sense that He's calling you. Don't leave here today without responding to it. I don't want you to leave here today. You can respond to it right now in your own words or your own way. Or from a pure heart, you can follow me. And follow me right now. Let's pray that. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming and living and taking the punishment I deserved for the way that I lived. Help me live from you from today on. Thank you for dying the death that I deserved, so that I didn't have to. I didn't have to experience separation from the one who designed me. I didn't have to experience separation from all things good. I didn't have to experience separation from God. I didn't have to experience hell forever. I get to be with you. And thank you. Thank you for rising again, defeating the grave, so that the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rose you from the grave, is the same Spirit that lives in me. It's the same Spirit that empowers me. It is the same Spirit that watches over me. It is the same Spirit that will help me stand firm. Thank you for all that. Give me the strength to do what you've called me to do. Give me the strength to live a new life. Show me that new life. And help me be obedient in the steps that I need to take. Bring those people into my life that give me encouragement, that'll stand with me in the gap, that'll pray on my behalf, that will hold me accountable when they see me doing things that I shouldn't do, or falling away, or hiding, or whatever it is. I ask that they'd be firm with me, but loving with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, I thank you for sacrificing your life for ours. And as we learn from the letter to the Thessalonians, please encourage us in faith and stand in our faith to stand firm and to trust your plans and to love others well. I ask it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So be with God wherever he is. If he's got you sitting in that chair, I want you to sit right there. If he's got you to stand and worship in song and raise your hands or raise your voice, whatever it is you do, do that. But I need you to be with God right where he's got you. That's the most important thing. So if you're going to stand and worship, let's stand and worship.